It's Friday, April 27th, 2012, and welcome to episode 131 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome, Cindy.
Hi, Tom.
Well, this time, this is going to be our last episode before many teachers in our area are going to be out of session. Many schools in our local area will be out before Memorial Day, which is very unusual.
It is. They seem to be going back to school earlier in August and then getting out earlier in May.
So I thought, since summertime is coming upon us, I thought we might share some of the summer plans that you and I have, what we're doing and what some teachers may do. Summertime's a time to recharge our batteries and learn some new things, take some time out, and hopefully be a little bit more laid back.
Hopefully, right. Exactly.
So let's go ahead and share some of our summer plans. We'll talk a little bit about items in the news. There's, as usual in the tech world, there's just news every week coming out. So I thought I'd share some of the items that caught my interest this month. We'll finish up with our technology picks of the week. So let's go ahead and start. This month, April 2012, one of the big items in the news is Facebook.
Again.
Facebook hit 901 million users.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just absolutely amazing.
Statistics like that just boggle your mind. It's kind of like when American Idol has their voting and they get, you know, millions and millions of votes, and that sometimes we struggle on issues of importance to get that many people involved. And so to see that this many people are using Facebook, it's what a tool that it can be. And I think this is going to change how companies and different things are going to be marketed from.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of that, with all the marketing dollars and things, one reason that that statistics came out, I think, was actually some financial records, because the other big news, Facebook bought Instagram.
And that was a shocker.
$1 billion.
Happy summer vacation to those guys that started Instagram.
And that's just a couple of years ago, and I was reading, I think they have less than a dozen employees.
Yes.
So it's from 0 to 2 years old and $1 billion. That's how quickly the world's changing.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, they're bringing with them their own network and other Instagram news. They just came out with the Android client. It's been on iPhone. It originated on iPhone. So, you know, a lot of news there. The other big thing that is really, really starting to heat up, and I part of the title of this is called Summer Plans and Cloud Wars. There's a lot of information coming out right now about some of the companies and what we call cloud storage. It's kind of like a hard drive in the sky. And the big announcements there this week, Google finally came out with what the rumored Google Drive that's been out there. We've been talking about for really a few years, and this week they did finally release it, and I've got it out there in my Google Docs and playing around with it and uploading it and going back and forth. But there's also a number of other companies. SkyDrive, this past week or two, they've upgraded their services, so you're able to save some information from your local device up to the cloud. And the reason that this is really, you know, coming to the forefront now is everybody's starting to have multiple devices.
Correct.
So,
and it's interesting too, you know, we have these multiple devices, but also that, you know, Google, Microsoft with the SkyDrive and all that have multiple applications tied into that. What Google, their whole package now has grown so much. Yeah. So you're seeing all of those, and that kind of fits in with what Facebook is doing now with the Instagram. So you're seeing these bundles.
Yeah, it's an evolution again.
It is.
So we made this next evolutionary step, which allows us to do something that we couldn't have done before. The other two big ones out there are two or three, you know, there's literally dozens of different cloud storage solutions out there, but other big ones, iCloud.
Right.
You know, with the iOS ecosystem, Dropbox, you know, that's kind of been a perennial favorite that, you know, a lot of people are using the Dropbox.
Easy to use.
And Box.net is another larger company providing that. Although, want to provide a little cautionary note. Once you take your data up to the cloud, you know, depending upon your organization, you may have restrictions and rules. And I'd be very, very careful, especially confidential information. I wouldn't share anything outside your company network or your school network. We've got to keep that in mind.
Right. Anything that you don't want others to see, you really need to think about what you're putting up there. But as far as projects that you're working on or evolving projects, you know, those are great options. Instead of carrying, it's kind of funny, we think about the floppy disk and then the zip drive mm-hmm. and the CD and then the flash drive mm-hmm. and how we're going through these phases mm-hmm. of how we're storing our materials. And now, you know, we don't have to carry anything with us at all. As long as we have internet access,
right,
we can get to them.
And here at EIU, this is the last week before finals.
Right.
So we're getting a lot of students coming in here. And I just helped a young lady out the other day that had some problems with the flash drive. And, you know, I always say, what happens if you lose that flash drive?
Exactly. And we've found them.
Oh, if you're missing a flash drive, you might want to come to the ITC Lost and Found, because I probably have a dozen of them right now.
Yep.
And, I mean, they're very portable. You have to be careful with those as well. And, you know, routinely back those up to your laptop or desktop. Again, right. Or if you do have a SkyDrive account and, you know, you're comfortable putting your information up there, that's always another option. Now, the other thing, reading this week about Google Drive, talk about this evolution. I can't remember how many episodes back, but one of my tech picks of the week was the HTML5 graphing calculator. I don't know if
yes,
you remember that
yes,
one.
Yes, I do remember
Desmos,
that.
I believe it's like desmos.com.
Right.
It was being tied to Google Drive. So, and I didn't go ahead and do this because I'm always a little leery, but I went to the site. It's just a graphing calculator. You can type out an equation, y equals x squared, make a parabola, whatever it might be. And then you can click on the save button, all within a browser.
Okay.
And you can sign in with your Google account, and it would save that equation and that graph up to your G Drive, your Google Drive.
Okay.
So that's kind of where, and this is the first one I've seen. So that's, I think, where we're evolving to, you know, as they add more and more features. But we're kind of back to this age old problem of, you know, do I have to log in? I have Facebook account. I have Twitter.
Right.
I have Google, you know, the Google Plus accounts. And we have all these kind of silos of information. And, you know, they're asking us to sign in with these different credentials, and you really have to be trusting
right.
of that site, because they're so easy to spoof.
Exactly. And again, with that bundling, you're signing in for one thing, but then all of a sudden you realize you've signed up for several other things at
right.
the same time. And, you know, one thing that is always kind of funny to me, how people will do things and on their Facebook or Twitter, everything they're doing shows up in their feed or their timeline.
Yes.
Because they've linked it to yeah. their Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all showing up there for the world
yep.
to see. So you really do have to be aware what you're agreeing to and go into those settings mm-hmm. and see what you're allowed
yeah.
to and, push and all of that.
And always observe that grandma rule. Don't put anything out there you wouldn't want
That's
your grandmother
right.
to see. So there's always that chance.
Absolutely.
I can't remember if it was one of the cloud storage solutions. They had a security breach where you could log into the account without a password for a while, and that was like last summer, I believe.
Wow.
So that just kind of shows you. It just takes one little tick mark in a programmer's database to mark something from
right.
public to private,
right.
and, you know.
Yeah, my personal use, I tend to use it for projects
yeah.
that I'm going to be working on at home and when I travel and things mm-hmm. like that, so I can access it. But as far as storing any of my important documentation and information, I've just
yeah,
not gotten there yet.
Yeah, I've not gotten there either. Just kind of things, like I said, that you wouldn't mind to be public.
True.
Okay, the other big news here at the end of April, I kind of have my feet in a lot of different waters, you know, providing technology support. I'm also very interested in Linux. And this month, the Ubuntu version 12.04 is released. I'll be downloading that here at the end of this month and kicking the tires and seeing what that provides. But Linux is a free and open source software.
Right.
It's really come a long way over the years. I think it really has a lot to offer education, one, because it's free, with, you know, very tight school budgets and things.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's been around since the early 1990s, so it's a mature technology. Well over half the internet runs on a Linux infrastructure.
So as somebody who, let's say I'm a newbie with this,
mm-hmm.
if I don't consciously update this, will it update automatically on my systems, or is this something I need to be, because it's one of those things that's behind the scenes you don't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's similar to Apple or Microsoft. You have updates, so you can go out there and do you know, updates either on demand or you can schedule them. This is what they call an LTS, a long-term support, which means it's going to be supported by Ubuntu. Canonical is the name of the company that that supports this. But it's just a different philosophy about using software. A lot of things out there, a lot of open source projects and things, I think are very good, and we as educators, you know, need to be paying attention. And I do use it regularly on a daily basis. It just provides you so much. Other things, you know, talk about all these news items and switching over to some of the things that we're going to be doing this summer to share with the teachers. A lot of things on our radar screens, technology coordinators and teachers and keeping their eyes on. I believe in June, Windows 8 is going to be available for what they call a release preview.
Oh.
So, you know, right now we're at Windows 7, so it's going to be another learning curve there. Office 15, you know, we're currently at Office 2010. Office 15 is going to be out.
Wow. And that's one where, first of all, people that think nothing happens in the summer in schools really needs to go in sometime and see, because it is such a tremendously busy time.
Yeah, we'll share some of our plans that we have here, and we'll see if it's summertime or not, because I'm not convinced yet.
And then we also have schools. You know, I work with a lot of different schools, and I receive documents from them working on different projects. And the different versions of Office that are being used out there. I mean, we still have this. It's a shame that schools, education systems can't be offered vastly reduced price so they could all be running on the most recent, because it is hard whenever you're
the larger
going
organizations
back and forth.
Are. They do. They offer various discounts, both Apple and Microsoft, on doing that. However, back to Linux, there's a program called LibreOffice. That's 100% free. It opens up Microsoft Word documents. Oh. There are some issues, like if you get into formatting with headers and tables and some things, that it may mess things up a little bit. But for 90% of the things that, you know, I do, it's a perfect alternative. And, you know, for K-12 schools, again, I think it's something that deserves a look. And also, they have they don't call them App Store. I mean, Linux has had what many people consider an App Store long before an App Store was ever around. But you have all these programmers from all around the world, really tight-knit open source community, programming for free and offering these programs out there. And you can go out to what's called a software repository and do a search and say, I want to download. It's very similar to what an App Store does. But Linux has kind of had a little bit more, you know, you need to be a techie to use Linux. It's always been a more technical operating system.
As opposed to pretty in graphics and...
Yeah, but again, it's come a long way. That perception I don't think's true anymore. In fact, this latest version of Ubuntu 12.04, it has a new interface called Unity, and Windows is changing, iOS 5, the Apple iPad interface, they're all changing to be this touch-centric, touch-friendly interface, and the same thing's happening on the Linux side.
Great. So it's definitely something that, if you haven't looked at it for a while, that we should all get up to speed.
And I probably, you know, that's another thing on your to-do list. You know,
that's right.
Longer than your arm is. But, you know, that'd be a great thing. Maybe I need to put together a screencast or two, or... you know, kind of do some video type things out there to raise awareness of that.
Yeah.
Other things, again, just this week that caught my, a lot of things happening in June, I believe, they haven't said this, but it's probably a good bet. Apple's Mountain Lion, their next version, most likely will be out in the fall, and they're having a developers conference in June, so we might learn a little bit more about that. And then Google and Google Plus. Are you using Google Plus any? Have you got into that yet?
Very little.
I'm using it somewhat, but the problem that I have with it is, you know, I use Twitter as my personal learning network, and that's kind of how my community is.
Right.
And those people aren't necessarily, in fact, the large majority are not on
Google Plus. Google Plus, yes.
So the way I'm kind of approaching it is, I've kind of got the whole idea behind Hangouts is you have these different circles of friends, or, you know, little community circles.
By interest,
yeah. So that's kind of the way I'm wrapping my head around it.
Right. But again, that's one of those things. You have that, you know, you have Twitter, we have LinkedIn,
Facebook,
and we have these different accounts. And sometimes it is, you know, trying to keep them separate, because our professional and personal intermingle on a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And again, remembering those passwords and all those good things that go with it.
Mm-hmm. Other things to keep you busy this summer, Adobe is going to be releasing their new Creative Suites version 6. So there's going to be a lot of new things, and I've been keeping my eye really close on the ebook market. So part of the Creative Suite is a product called InDesign, which is what many of the major magazines and newspapers, and they're providing some updates to the latest EPUB 3 spec.
Wonderful.
So everybody's going to be getting up to speed and, again, you know, trying to learn more about that. And then also iBooks. With the iPads and things, the latest version has iBooks Author, and there's a lot of educators starting to play around with that.
So you can create your documents or your...
Make an e-book.
Booklets or
visible for an iPad.
That'll work on either. Now, I just recently downloaded, it was a history of Coles County from the early 1900s. In an EPUB format that I can open in my iBooks on my iPad.
So is it like reflowable? You can change the text and it it slides.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I wasn't really sure, but I went to, you know, it's I believe it's one of the archive sites that we talked about earlier, and you can find all of these really old documents and books. And when I looked, it had listed EPUB, Kindle, all these different formats, which fits exactly into what you've been talking about. How do we make these, you know, is every publication going to be have to be offered in 5 or 6 different formats?
I'm afraid that's the way that we're heading right now. You know, that's something I'm certainly concerned for our students here, as many universities and K-12 as well, looking at all these electronic books. And I see all the time where, you know, you'll see this article about, oh, such and such school district's going to save money because they're going to be buying Kindles or iPads or whatever, and they forget that those ebooks also have a price,
right?
A reduced price, but nonetheless a price, plus a $200 or $500 device on top of that.
And the license fees that have to be renewed annually, as opposed to districts who've kept a book for multiple years and not had to pay every year. So that's something, too, that...
And I think, you know, we need to have these very honest conversation, raise these issues, because, you know, the vendors are out there to sell products, so... we need to say, you know, hey, wait a minute, what about this and sharing? You know, we talked about brothers and sisters sharing. Is that a device? Is that a license per iPad, per student?
Sure, yeah.
Who owns that content? Does the school district, does the student, does the parent? So there's a lot of issues and things. But, again, these are very exciting times. So
absolutely.
Well, that wraps it up for items in the news. Okay, we're back, and I think we'll share a little bit of our summer plans. I know many of you are starting to think about summertime, and just preparing the show notes here, I kind of wrote down a few notes. And summer is a time for us, at least at our university, we kind of turn over our equipment. We try getting rid of some of the older computers and put in new ones, so that always involves a lot of work. And just doing some project management, just, you know, going out there projecting. It looks like we're probably going to be just within our college, College of Education Professional Studies, we're probably going to be looking at about 200-plus new devices.
Wow, that's impressive.
So that's a mixture of new desktops, laptops, netbooks, iPads. And then we've got another project, which is called VDI. We're going to be getting a lab of VDI terminals, and VDI stands for Virtual Device Infrastructure.
Okay.
So we've got a project out there that you can buy these little, they're called terminal servers, but they're $200 or $300 devices, and instead of spending, you know, $800, $900, you know, $1,100, $1,200 on a computer, you can buy a little $200, $300 device, plug it into the network, then it connects back to the server. So it's kind of like back to the mainframe days where you can actually log in to Windows.
Right.
If I didn't tell you any differently, you would swear that you were on a computer. But that is being run, that the software is actually being run from the server.
Wow.
So what that would gain us, you know, somebody's got to put in all of this equipment. So typically, you know, the traditional way is, well, in fact, I'm going to be doing it here. We're replacing our computers in the ITC lab this summer, so I've got 34 PCs to replace. So that means I have to touch 34 different computers. I need to load Word. I need to load the Flash update. I need to load QuickTime. I need to load Audacity and all of these different programs and, you know, rinse and repeat 34 times and then you're done.
Right.
Now, I've got some tools that we can image and be a little bit more efficient than that, but that's kind of the general idea. The idea behind the VDI is you make an image that is run from a server. So I load all these applications, make a snapshot. It's called a snapshot image. We're using VMware. And then from the server, whenever somebody clicks to log in, that image with all those preloaded programs is delivered over the wire, over the local area network. So if you come in tomorrow and say, hey, I need SPSS loaded, you know, again, for me to do that currently, I have to touch 34 machines. And, you know, that's, you know, probably 15, 20 minute process per machine.
Oh, yeah.
But I could update one image on a terminal server on the VDI. And then it would be delivered the next time you clicked it. You can point it to that image and say, here you go.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. It's been around for, you know, for quite a while, really. But there's infrastructure costs. You have to buy the server and the, you know, rack-mounted servers. And to begin with, it really is not providing any cost savings, short of all the, you know, people hours it takes to maintain.
The time and the efficiency.
And pretty much all of our labs, I re-image those, you know, once a semester. At the end of a semester, I have to start all over and do all the updates and get them where we want. So I'm looking forward to that project. And, you know, there's a bit of a learning curve there. So looking forward to that. The other big thing going on, a lot of this stuff happens, as you said, you know, realizing what happens over the summertime. Our ITS department, we're completely revamping our Active Directory, which is kind of the lifeblood of our authentication. Whenever you type in your Eastern email address and authenticate, we're looking at redoing that to provide some enhanced authentication security.
And that'll be both on campus and off?
For any ID. It's going to touch everything, but it's going to be, hopefully, knock on wood, it'll be one of those invisible projects that, you know, if everything goes well, you'll never know it even happened.
Right.
But that provides us, like I said, some benefits. I don't know. You probably remember a few years ago, before we had what we called single sign-on. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to have to log into our, you know, our banner, our information system. Then you had a different one, kind of like what we're talking about, Facebook and Google and Apple.
Right.
All different accounts. This Active Directory kind of consolidates that and authenticates against once. So we have one user ID and password.
Very nice.
To manage that. So, and like I said, if you've ever lived through that, you know, it was quite a hassle.
Oh, and then, you know, changing the passwords.
Yeah,
you changed it
on this system, and you're like, do I remember? Did I change it over here?
Right.
And you get them out of sync. And
exactly.
It provides a lot of, you know, support cost and things. So.
Well, and again, that your time, you know, our time is worth money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that investments like that
mm-hmm.
are important.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a bittersweet time of year too. I'm going to be losing three of my GAs that have been with me for a couple of years here at the ITC.
Ooh, big change.
So big change. Going to be, you know, having to get some others up to speed, but I'm really happy. They're all out there actively pursuing jobs, and it's looking pretty good on the job hunt for them. So
wonderful.
They'll certainly be missed. And
you have to learn to stagger those. So
I'm working on that. I'm working on that. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. You kind of, you know, grow together and things. And,
sure.
And like I said, I'm very happy for them. They've done an excellent job. So. Other things, our new learning management system, we're currently using WebCT, and we're in the process of upgrading. It's not been announced what we're going to yet, but, you know, talk about a major change. This is our online delivery.
Yeah,
you know,
from
and
Blackboard
/ WebCT. It's kind of the same company anymore, so we'll have all that to deal with. And
that's a learning curve for everybody. It's a learning curve for faculty who are creating.
Mm-hmm.
Their courses, and then the students to learn how, you know, the ins and outs of using it.
And all of our tech support, you know, trying to get the jump on the faculty. So, because, you know, we don't know yet. We're going to have to learn it all from.
So it definitely has the ripple effect
absolutely.
It goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's going to be some interesting improvements and again, this evolution as we go through video projects and things. We're starting to see with a lot of, you know, with using Skype and things in the classroom, the providing two-way interactive video conferencing and things with the broadband, that's becoming more and more common, you know, especially here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some problem areas, and I'll say that for my technology pick of the week. But, you know, this, all of these, you know, whenever we add functionality and things, the capacity must grow at the same time.
Right.
So again, a lot of the behind the scenes things, you know, there'll be our ITS department will be upgrading switches, we'll be getting more bandwidth, we'll be increasing our wireless access points so that whenever you click and log into email, you know, it's just all invisible. So
right. And that, but yeah, the it's almost like a garden hose versus a fire hose. Mm-hmm. You know, when you need that larger capacity, somebody has to actually, you know, make the changes that can happen with the difference, like a fire hydrant and a spigot from your house.
And what's happened here, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been noticing a lot more students having the little Kindle Fires in the nooks. They're really starting to be a lot more popular. And then even just the cell phones, you know, whether a Droid or an iPhone, those have Wi-Fi access.
Right.
And again, something, you know, most of us don't even think about. Whenever we walk down the hallway and hit an access point, that's grabbing an IP number.
Oh,
so
there you go.
And when we have 10,000, 12,000 students here on campus, that's a lot of IP numbers.
And they're constantly having their social media and things updating and checking in and all of that. So, yeah, it's constant. Not only is it being accessed, it's being used.
Yes. Yeah. So we have to worry about density and things like that. We've had to deal with that with our laptop carts, you know, wheeling in 20, 30 laptops and being in a confined space. Again, most businesses don't have to deal with that because you're in an office environment, you have a dozen people around you. But, you know, just here in our building here, we've got a total between the two buildings, a total of 6 laptop carts, and 4 of them are in this building. So in any one given area, you can have, you know, 60-plus computers all hitting an access point.
In the atrium alone, you can have 15 students or more with their laptops.
Yeah, with their own laptops in addition to that, or cell phones, whatever it may be.
Right.
The video projects and things, you know, I mentioned with Linux and things, I would like to share a lot more of what we're doing here. And I probably need to, you know, we're always doing these audio podcasts, but I probably need to do a little bit more with video. Video is a lot more time-consuming, though.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, you kind of weigh how many hours in the day there are. But so those are some of the things just kind of off the top of my head that'll keep me busy a little bit this summer.
A little bit. We've got a pretty busy summer. It's funny because people assume that because teachers aren't in school that we slow down in the summer. But most of our professional development activities are in the summer. And we have teachers sign up. We do full day, you know, workshops and that. And so we have a whole lot planned with teachers doing PD all summer here on campus, Springfield, and different locations. And then we're developing some new resources based on the Holocaust and civil rights and just things like that. So we're going to be adding some new resources to our website on that as well. So I was looking at the calendar and it's like, golly, July is going to be gone. Before we know it.
No, you've got one scheduled in ITC in June, don't you?
We do. We actually have two. We have two. We're looking at something called It All Begins on One with One, and studying how individuals impact or cause change through primary sources. So we're going to use Library of Congress primary sources.
Is that one full?
Actually, we've already filled up. But we're going to look at just, you know, people who cause change, good or bad, and again with that ripple effect and that it's a cool topic because it really reaches, you know, some people when I talk about Library of Congress think it's only history or social studies, and you know, we look at music, we look at architecture, we look at all of these different things, and so it's a lot of fun.
My technology pick of the week this week is called broadbandillinois.org. And this is a website. I recently attended a broadband meeting here locally. And one of the problems, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially myself, I'm in such the high tech area that we really need to remember when we're developing all these wonderful multimedia resources and videos and audio and all of this, that there's still, in our particular area of Illinois, there's still a large number of people that do not have broadband access. So I would encourage you to go out to broadbandillinois.org, and I'll provide a couple of links in the show notes, but if you click on the maps, anywhere you see red, that's bad. And there's a lot of red.
A lot of red.
In our area. So, you know, one of the other major things that's going on this year that's gaining more and more momentum is the flipped instruction model. You know, I think we've talked about the Khan Academy and things before, where students go home for homework and watch these videos. And then the next day at school, they come in and do the homework and the teacher assists them.
Right.
Well, if you look at this map, it's worrisome. Because these are students out in our local community that just do not have access, to broadband. And it's a little disheartening after, you know, working so hard for 15 years and building the infrastructure and things, that we need to be really careful that we don't leave these folks behind.
Absolutely, because, you know, you just make it that much more complicated for the students. And there are more and more high-end things, but it is important if we're going to create something. Sometimes we need to create maybe two versions, mm-hmm. something at a more basic mm-hmm. level and that higher end.
And I think that's the way that we're evolving. Right. In fact, you know, with the new iPad 3, that designers are actually going to have to do that, because the older iPad 1 and 2 models, they're like 1024 by 768. So designers are going to have to design to that spec. And then the newest iPad is twice that resolution, which gives you some more possibilities. But yet that backward compatibility kind of that we were just talking about,
we
need to be aware of. So the digital divide is certainly still, unfortunately, alive and well. And we, you know, I just want to give a little bit of airtime here to let people know that we still have a ways to go. And these community meetings and things is a way to go. There's different government programs and a lot of local vendors, corporations and things building out the infrastructure. There's a lot of fiber being laid in our area, and this is rural Illinois, so, you know, going by farm fields. And it's really hard for farmers to understand when they have to give easements to, like, Verizon or somebody to lay fiber down next to their field, but yet they can't tap into it.
Access it, right.
So, there, you know, those frustrations and things are out there. But once the, you know, once these trunk lines and backbones get in, it's, you know, the plan is that other carriers can take over from there. And provide that, you know, always the last challenge is that last mile of access.
Right. You know, and who decides where that last mile is.
Right. And like I said, it's listed out there county by county. They have it where you can zoom in. So if you're a resident of Illinois, go out there, pick whatever county that you're in. They've got it listed by region. We're in the southeast central Illinois region. And, you know, it was a bit eye-opening, the lack of coverage. And Illinois being a relatively flat state, you know, you wouldn't think that we would have, but in that part, it's a little bit more hills, rolling hills and things. But so many of these broadband services have to have line of sight. So if you're in a hill or trees, you know, coming off, in this part of the state, a lot of the local companies are putting their antennas on top of grain elevators. And you know, harvest doors and silos and things like that. But you do, unfortunately, that's only good for so many miles. And, you know, that's why you're seeing all these cell phone towers constantly popping up. Because, you know, different companies are building out the infrastructure, but it's not a complete coverage. And unfortunately, in a business plan, in a very sparsely populated area, you know, you can see the struggle there.
Oh, because we have, you know, where we're located, we have St. Louis 2 hours to the west, mm-hmm. Indy 2 hours to the east, Chicago.
And those maps look very well. They're all green.
Exactly. So you have these high areas, but they're this
high population,
condensed population. And so, it's difficult making people realize, you know, that they should invest in this, and that it is an important part to think, something to think about. But we're moving in the right direction, so that's a very good thing.
But I do think that we need to keep the awareness up, and again, technology champions like myself need to keep our feet on the ground and address these as those that promote the flipped instruction model. You know, it's great, but we do need to address these issues. So.
Well, and also another, you know, with kids and homework and things like that too, as they have started putting caps on data plans.
Yes, absolutely.
And families
having
to pay for data, and that some of those things will eat up a family's budget, especially if it's someone who's stretching to even, you know, purchase that plan and all. And so we have to be aware of that as well, that is there a way we can give things to those students on a CD, DVD, I don't know. But we do, you know, when we assign these really neat things, we have to have backup plans on how to help, how we can make sure it's accessible to all of our students.
Yep. Okay, so what do you have for our tech pick?
Well, completely, you know, opposite direction of you as you're all serious here. After all the talk about Instagram and Facebook, I was not part of the Instagram world before, but I did sign up and and you know, was a little surprised at how basic Instagram is.
What's the big deal?
I really thought, you know, it was going to be this. I knew it was not a revenue producer because I'd heard that that was one of the things that was so shocking about the purchase. I did get the app, was playing with it, and it's fun. But, you know, like you, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time in photography, but I do have a very nice camera that I purchased and all that. And it's funny to look at these and see these and look at it. And but it's not about the quality of the photo as much as the themed sets. And so there was a collection of, it was called Empty Chairs. And people were taking, and they were using the hashtags. And so you're developing these communities and it's starting a conversation about these topics. And so it's kind of cool to see, again, how these people from all over the country, all over the world, are using this and having these common experiences and feeding into it.
And I think so, that's why Facebook was interested from that community aspect on doing that.
And so, and the same with Twitter, with we do those hashtags and have that, you know, this is an opportunity to do the same thing. You know, they had Coachella, the music festival that just happened. They had groups of photos from that. And so once I started looking into that, and it's like, okay, I get it now, that it's not about the pictures, but it's the process and the thought behind the picture and going out and looking for and how you what that topic means to you and what that concept means to you and going that way. So once I started thinking about that, I'm digging it a little more now.
I've not gotten into it yet, so I'm still sitting on the sidelines on that. I don't know if it was last time or a couple of months ago. Didn't you have Pinterest as one of your?
I did.
Are you still using it?
I am.
Are
I'm
you?
Adding so, to my boards. I freaked me out a little bit when I started getting followers and having people comment on things that I didn't know. But I've started, you know, seeing these patterns, and it is interesting. I'm really keeping it to home things, landscaping and some recipes and things like that. I haven't gone the professional route yet, full force. And so I want to get a little more comfortable with it before I do that.
Well, I think that's good advice. Like I said, I mean, I'm kind of taking that same approach with Google Plus and kind of targeting for that one community that, you know, that I'm trying to nurture. So,
And, you know, the big thing we do with the Library of Congress website, if we send a teacher out there to look, it's overwhelming. We say, pick a name, a place, or something you personally are interested in and explore. Then you're comfortable because you know there's no wrong answer because it's yours personally, and it helps you go. So yeah, it's that's a great way, you know. And over the summer, if teachers have a chance, or during any breaks or vacations, to take that downtime and play, and believe it or not, you're going to learn while you're playing, and then that'll be contagious to your kids when they come back in the fall.
Yep. That wraps it up for episode 131 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.